Well then, Chip, may the force be with you. Followed by his group of students, Luke Skywalker emerged from the great Masasi Temple to watch the arrival of the transport and their new Jedi student. Luke had told them all of Kip's coming. They had responded with measured enthusiasm, glad to have another trainee among their number, yet tempered by the clinging memory of Gantaris's dark and fiery death. A rectangular ship emblazoned with the scooped blue sign of the New Republic approached through the hazy skies. Its tracking lights flickered on, and broad landing struts extended. R2 trundled to the side of the landing grid in front of the great temple, approached where the ship was about to set down. Blasts of repulsor lift jets fluttered his hood and ruffled his hair. Luke stared at the ship, blinking grit from his eyes until the transport came to rest. The boarding ramp extended, and Wedge Antilles stepped out, reaching behind him to help the bluish female scientist descend. Luke raised his left hand in greeting and turned his attention to the young man emerging from the craft. Kip Duran was a wiry 18-year-old, full of energy and eagerness, toughened from years of labor in the spice mines of Kessel. In the mines, Kip had received a small initiation into the Force through another prisoner there, the fallen Jedi woman, Vimada Boda. Kip had instinctively used those skills to help Han and Chewbacca escape from Kessel and from the Maw installation. When Luke had tested the young man for Jedi potential, the strength of Kip's response had thrown Luke backward. Luke had been waiting for a student like this to come to his academy. Kip stepped down the landing platform, averting his eyes at first, but then he paused and looked up to stare into Luke's eyes. Luke saw an intelligence, a quick wit, and a quick temper, survival instincts born from years of struggle, but he also saw unshakable determination. This was the most important factor in a Jedi trainee. "Welcome, Kip Duran," Luke said. "I'm ready, Master Skywalker," Kip answered. "Teach me the Jedi ways." 15. Staring out the observation window of the orbiting station, Leia thought the Calamarian shipyards looked even more impressive than their reputation had led her to expect. The starship construction facilities rode high above the mottled blue planet. Supply platforms sprawled in three dimensions, dotted with winking red, yellow, and green lights that indicated landing pads and docking bays. Small girder impellers pushed huge mounds of plasteel extruded from transorbital rubble shipments from the planet's single moon. The girders would be used in the frameworks of the famous Mon Calamari star cruisers. Crab-like constructor pods flitted in and around a tremendous space dock hangar like tiny insects against the mammoth form of a half-built cruiser. "Excuse me, Minister Organa Solo?" Leia turned to see a small Calamarian female wearing pale blue ambassadorial robes. While the males had bulbous and lumpy heads, the females were more streamlined, with olive-colored mottling over the pale salmon of their hides. "I am Kilgall." When the Calamarian female raised both of her hands, Leia noticed that the webbing between her spatulate fingers seemed more translucent than Ackbar's. Leia raised her own hand in acknowledgement. "Thank you for meeting me, Ambassador. I appreciate your help." Kilgall's mottling darkened in a reaction that Leia recognized as humor or amusement. "You humans have called the Mon Calamari the soul of the rebellion. After such a compliment, how can we turn down any request for help?" The ambassador stepped forward to gesture out at the bustling space dock facility. "I see you have been observing our work on the Startide. It will be our first addition to the New Republic fleet in many months. We have been devoting most of our resources to recovering from last year's attack by the Emperor's World Devastators." Leia nodded, looking again at the splotchy organic shape of the Mon Calamari Star Cruiser, the New Republic's equivalent of the Imperial Star Destroyer. The ovoid battleship had lumpy protrusions for gun emplacements, field generators, viewports, and staterooms placed at seemingly random intervals. Each star cruiser was unique, modeled after the same basic design, yet altered to meet individual criteria that Leia didn't quite understand. "All the drive units are installed," Kilgall continued, "and the hull is almost complete. We tested the sublight engines just yesterday, hauling the whole space dock facility once around the planet. It will take another 2 months to complete the inner bulkheads, staterooms, and crew quarters. Leia tore her gaze from the activity and nodded at the ambassador. As always, I'm astonished at the resourcefulness and dedication of the Calamarians. You have given so much after your enslavement by the Empire, after the attacks you've suffered. I feel reluctant to ask for further help, but I desperately need to speak with Admiral Akbar. Kilgall straightened her sky-blue robes. We have respected Akbar's request for privacy and his need for contemplation after the tragedy on Vortex. But our people remain proud of him and support him entirely. If you wish to bring further charges against...
No, no,
Leia said. I'm one of his greatest supporters. But circumstances have changed since he exiled himself here. Leia swallowed and decided that she would get further if she trusted Kilgall.
I've come to beg him to return.
Kilgall flushed with an olive tinge. She moved quickly, gliding across the floor of the orbital station.
In that case, a shuttle is ready to take you down.
Leia gripped the widely spaced arms of the passenger seat as Kilgall maneuvered the egg-shaped shuttle through sleeting rain and knotted gray storm clouds. White caps stippled the dull surface of Calamari's deep oceans. Kilgall swung the shuttle lower, seemingly unconcerned with storm winds. She held her splayed hands over the controls and bent to the viewing panels. The high-resolution viewing instruments had been designed for wide-set Calamarian eyes, and the blunt controls were adapted for the digits of the aquatic people. Kilgall maneuvered the shuttle like a streamlined fish through water. The vessel curved away from small marshy islands, sparse dots of habitable land where the amphibious Calamarians had first established their civilization. Narrow rivulets of rainwater trickled down the passenger window as Kilgall turned broadside to the wind. The Calamarian ambassador nudged one of the bulbous control knobs and spoke into an invisible voice pickup.
Foamwander City, this is Shuttle SQ-1. Please provide a weather update and an approach vector.
Kilgall's voice sounded smooth and soft, as if she hadn't needed to shout in her entire life. A guttural male voice came over the speaker. Ambassador Kilgall, we are transmitting your approach vector. We are currently experiencing rising winds that are well within seasonal norms. No difficulties expected, but we are issuing an advisory against topside travel for the afternoon.
Acknowledged, Kilgall said. We were planning on making the rest of our journey underwater. Thank you.
She signed off, then turned back to Leia.
Don't worry, Minister. I can sense your anxiety, but I assure you, there is nothing to be concerned about.
Leia sat up, trying to quell her nervousness until she put her finger on its cause.
I don't doubt you, Ambassador. It's just that the last time I flew in a storm was on Vortex.
Kilgall nodded somberly.
I understand.
Leia sensed Kilgall's sincerity, and the look on her fish-like face was comforting.
We'll be safely landed in a few minutes.
Through the mists and the whipping spray, Leia watched them approach a metal island. Lumpy, but smooth, like an organic coral reef, Foamwander City rose in a hemisphere out of the whitecaps. A forest of reinforced watchtowers and communications antennas rose from the top of the city, but the rest of the drifting metropolis had soft angles and polished outcroppings like a Mon Calamari star cruiser. The bright lights of thousands of above-surface windows shed jewels of light even through the whipping rain. Below the hemispherical dome, Leia knew that the floating cities had underwater towers and descending complexes like the mirror image of a Coruscant skyline. The inverted skyscrapers of dwelling units and water processing stations beneath the hemisphere made the city look like a mechanical jellyfish. Starved for raw materials on their marshy islands, the Mon Calamari had not been able to build a civilization until they joined forces with another intelligent species that lived beneath the oceans. The Quarren, a humanoid race with helmet-shaped heads and faces that looked like a fistful of tentacles sprouting beneath close-set eyes, had excavated metallic ores from the ocean crust. Working with the Calamarians, they built dozens of floating cities. Though the Quarren could also breathe air, They chose to remain under the sea while the Calamarians designed starships to explore the bright islands in space. Kilgall approached the lumpy hemisphere of Foamwander's city, circling to the leeward side, where the bulk of the metropolis protected them from buffeting winds. Whitecaps broke against the dull gray of the city's outer shell, sending arcs of droplets high like a handful of diamonds. "Open wave doors," Kilgall said into the voice pickup. She aimed the shuttle toward a line of bright lights that guided the ship in. Before Leia could detect the seam, heavy doors split open diagonally like a crooked mouth. Without slowing, Kilgall shot the vessel into a smooth tunnel well lit by green illumination strips. Behind them, the wave doors closed, sealing the metropolis against the onslaught of the storm. Leia felt herself swept along as the ambassador moved with a liquid grace, calmly but relentlessly, to the underwater sections of the floating city. Kilgall set a steady, rapid pace that helped Leia hurry but caused no alarm. This was no simple diplomatic mission. As Leia strode through the curved, colorful halls of the upper levels, she was reminded of the corkscrewing chambers inside a gigantic shell. She saw no sharp corners, only rounded edges and smooth, polished decorations made of coral and mother-of-pearl. Even inside the enclosed city, the air had a salty tang, but it was not unpleasant. "Do you know where Akbar is?" Leia finally asked. "Not exactly," the ambassador said. "We allowed him his privacy and did not follow him." Kilgall touched Leia's shoulder with a broad, thin hand. "But do not be concerned. The Calamarians have sources of information that the Empire never suspected. Even during the occupation, we were able to keep our collective knowledge intact. We will find Akbar." Leia followed Kilgall into a turbolift that plunged down into the deep underwater levels of the floating city. When they emerged, the quality of the corridors had changed. The lighting was dimmer and shimmering, a jewel blue reflected through faceted glow lamps and thick transparasteel windows that looked out into the ocean depth. Leia could see divers swimming among the tangle of nets and mooring lines, satellite cages, and small submersible vehicles moving about the inverted towers of the city. The air was thicker and damper. The people in these levels were primarily Quarren, moving about their business, not acknowledging the presence of the visitors. Though the Quarren and the Calamarians had allied themselves to build this civilization, Leia knew that the two communities did not work together without friction. The Calamarians insisted on their dreams to reach the stars, while the Quarren wished to return to the oceans. Rumors suggested that the Quarren had betrayed their planet to the Empire, but that they had then been treated just as badly under Imperial occupation as the Calamarians. Kilgall stopped and spoke to a Quarren who stood by a valve control station. The Quarren looked up at the interruption, flashing dark eyes at Leia, then at Kilgall. The Calamarian ambassador spoke in a high-pitched, bubbly language, and the Quarren answered abruptly in kind. He gestured to the left down a steep ramp that corkscrewed to the lower level. Kilgall nodded her thanks, undisturbed by the Quarren's attitude, as she led Leia down the ramp. They emerged into an open equipment bay that had been pressurized to allow easy access to the water. Five Calamarian males worked on a small submersible hoisted on a tractor beam. They moved together to unload dripping crates from a sea tree cargo hold. Quarren, dressed in sleek, flat black suits that seemed covered with minute scales, dived through access fields into the watery depths. The walls of the equipment bay flickered as traces of dim light wandered up and down the polished surfaces, creating a hypnotic bath of dark green and deep blue. Kilgall went to a row of small porcelain compartments and opened one. Before she could reach inside, two Quarren workers rushed over, speaking quickly and harshly in their bubbling language. Leia smelled a new, sour scent rising from them. Kilgall bowed in apology, then moved to a different set of compartments, opening them with more caution. Leia followed, trying to make herself small. She realized she was the only non-native in the entire chamber. The Quarren stared at her, though the Calamarians took no notice. Kilgall removed a pair of the slithery suits worn by the diving Quarren, handing one to Leia. Leia ran her fingers over the fabric. It seemed alive, clinging and slippery at the same time. The tiny mesh expanded and contracted as if seeking an appropriate shape to best serve the wearer. Kilgall indicated a narrow, closet-sized door.
Our changing compartments are a bit cramped, I'm afraid.
Leia stepped inside, sealing the door behind her as blue-green illumination intensified in the small chamber. End of side 3. To continue, turn the cassette over.